Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, we begin with the news that Israeli warplanes last night carried out dozens of airstrikes on southern Lebanon. This was just hours after Hezbollah's leader, Hassan Nasrallah, threatened tough retribution and just punishment for the wave of attacks in Lebanon earlier this week. These latest strikes follow a warning by Israel's defence minister that we are at the start of a new phase of the war. Well, for the very latest, I'm joined by Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent, and also Roland Oliphant, who is senior foreign correspondent with The Telegraph. And you're both welcome to the programme. Alistair, I want to start with you because we heard that last night's strikes were described by the Lebanese security forces as the heaviest aerial strike since the conflict began back in October of last year. What can you tell us about what's been happening in the last number of hours?
Well, last night's strikes were certainly big. The IDF say they were targeting rocket launch sites and that they hit more than 100, which in total included more than 1,000 barrels to launch rockets into Israel. They say they were primed and close to actually being deployed. Whether or not that's true, we don't know. But it was certainly a very heavy wave of strikes. Only a number of hours after Hassan Nasrallah had finished speaking, and I think it probably showed the Israeli intent. And then within the last few minutes, reports coming in that there are more airstrikes in southern Lebanon as of this morning.
This region we're talking about, we know that very many people, civilians, have left this area, haven't they, in the last number of months?
On both sides. There is a real focus on the number of Israelis who are displaced from their homes along the border, anywhere between about 60,000 and 70,000, not an inconsiderable number. But at least the same, probably more, have been displaced from the Lebanese side, from southern Lebanon, because of Israeli attacks there. But the pressure is on Benjamin Netanyahu from a number of different angles to return Israeli residents to the north. The school term has started again here. That was supposed to be a junction where kids were supposed to go back to school. That's come and passed. But now a combination of factors have coincided, including a new phase in Gaza, which has led the Israeli government to refocus its attentions on the north. And that is what we've seen play out over the last few days.
And we've been hearing more, Alistair, haven't we, from people working in the health service in Lebanon about the aftermath of both of those attacks on Tuesday and Wednesday, where we had the pagers and the walkie-talkies exploding. We've surgeons describing operating like zombies or like machines trying to get through all of the treatment that they needed to do. That sense of shock, of fear, of anxiety, of worry, that's still there, I'm sure.
I think when some people might imagine a pager, which is a pretty small device, exploding, you might imagine it has limited impact. But the pictures I've seen are of some very severe wounds. And the reports I'm hearing from Lebanese I speak to in Beirut describe some really life-changing wounds as a result of those explosions. And then the sheer number, well into the thousands, possibly more, according to Western security sources, who believe actually the number could be much higher than Hezbollah were letting on. And so they will have overwhelmed the hospitals. The hospitals in Lebanon have been preparing, as have the hospitals in Israel, for the event of war between the two sides. So there will be a degree of preparation in place. But that number of injured is a lot for the Lebanese health service, which, don't forget, Lebanon is in dire economic and political straight, that has been for a number of years. It is a lot for them to deal with in one go and a huge shock to the system.
Alistair, stay with us if you can, because I want to come to Roland at this point. And just going back to those attacks overnight, the aerial strikes, why is it, do you believe, or what are people saying about the Israeli plan now looking into the short to medium term?
I mean, there seem to be two going theories here. I mean, the first thing to say, obviously, is that in this particular round of whatever you want to call it, conflict, build up to war, brinksmanship, the Israelis clearly have the initiative. These two waves of device explosions followed by the airstrikes, which, if we believe the IDF, prevented Hezbollah launching its own attack. The Israelis are clearly setting the pace. The question is what they want to do next. At face value, I think certainly there's massive concern that this is where it's going to go amongst Israel's allies. It looks like the shaping operations for a potential ground invasion. I was speaking to an officer in the IDF by telephone last night. He's not I'm not talking about like a general. He's privy to the plans, but you know, he's a kind of mid-ranking officer in the infantry, and who's the way he was speaking, it sounded to me like he felt like it's a matter of time. There will be a ground invasion, but then there's a whole other play here, right? This whole thing is connected to what's happening in Gaza. Hezbollah have always said, look, we'll stop attacking Israel if there's a ceasefire in Gaza. There have been calls on Netanyahu to simply make a deal on a ceasefire, which would make the problem on the northern border theoretically go away. So there's this other thought that this is kind of, I suppose you could call it, heavy metal diplomacy. This idea that if Israel raises the stakes, if they kind of make Hezbollah stare down the barrel of a real devastating conventional war, that they can persuade perhaps Iran and Hezbollah to put some pressure on their allies Hamas to say, look, make a concession, give the Israelis a ceasefire on their terms, and then the whole deal goes away. I must say, if that is the theory, if that is the plan, we are getting really, really close to the brink of, a full-scale conventional war. And the discussions I've had with, as I say, with kind of ordinary Israeli soldiers, it makes me feel like they feel, or a large number of them feel like, we're probably going in.
And just to look at this then from the other side, because as I mentioned, we had the address from the Hezbollah leader, Hassan Nasrallah. Roland, what's your take on what Hezbollah might be planning, despite, as you've explained to us, being on the back foot, their retaliation, their response to what's been happening this week?
Well, I mean, with Hassan Nasrallah's speech last night, you know, he made clear that red lines had been crossed and there had to be a response, but he didn't announce a response. And I think that that kind of echoes a pattern of behavior throughout this, this 11 months of war in the Middle East now, you know, mostly focused on Gaza, but including, you know, with Hezbollah and Iran and the Houthis in Yemen, all in the picture. Every time we've lurched close to the nightmare scenario of a complete conflagration in the Middle East, a full-scale war between Iran and Israel, there seem to have been ways to kind of step back from the brink. People saying there must be a response, but either calibrating that response very carefully so it doesn't cross a threshold that would trigger a full-scale war, or kind of postponing it, waiting to see where opportunity comes. And I think, reading between the lines, I mean, my guess would be there is a reluctance here on the side of Hezbollah to engage in that full-scale war with Israel right now, possibly because they are on the back foot. Their entire communication system has just been disrupted. They've got a lot of wounded, and if we believe the IDF, a lot of their rockets are being hit.
Okay, Alistair, just to come back to you on what Roland said there at the beginning, that according to his sources, and we absolutely take the health warning, Roland, with that, you haven't been speaking to people at the very top, but the people you have been speaking to say that they're shaping up for a ground invasion, or they sense that that is the way the wind is blowing from the Israeli side. Does that tally, Alistair, with what you've been hearing?
Yeah, I spent yesterday speaking to a number of different people within the IDF and within the Israeli political system, including one individual who is in the room, if I can put it like that. He is very close to the Prime Minister. And he said something to me that I thought was quite striking about where possibly the mindset of the inner government is. And he said, what's happened in the last couple of days has shown Hezbollah to be weaker than people thought. It's shown Iran to be weaker than people thought. And it's shown Israel to be stronger than people thought. Now, look, you can take issue with that. But if that is the mindset within the inner circles of the Israeli government, then I think it tells us a lot about where they are right now. And they might be inclined to push home that perceived advantage.
Mm-hmm. And then, as you both have said, the key to solving all of this, if that is possible, is a ceasefire in Gaza. Roland, the White House has said and still maintains that a diplomatic solution is achievable. Is it possible, though, with this current tension?
We just don't know. I mean, the Americans have been pushing very, very hard for a very long time to get past what they say is the kind of the last 10% or 5% or half a percent of a deal through the door. And they always say, well, look, you know, it's not surprising it's taking long, because by definition, the last part of a negotiation is the most difficult part, because you deal with the easy stuff first. But it has been, there've been voice, you know, sounds of real frustration, I think, coming out from Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State, about just how close they are to getting it, and even kind of hints, you know, the Americans have kind of let it be known that that they feel that maybe Bibi Netanyahu and Sinwar on the other side are the individuals who are holding this up. The danger is, of course, that, you know, a decision is made that, look, we don't need, you know, by the Israeli government, we don't need a ceasefire right now. Actually, we want to deal with Hezbollah. Hezbollah has long been a threat. There is definitely a constituency, I think, within the Israeli establishment that would like to finish the job that they think was botched in 2006, the last time they had a ground war in Lebanon with Hezbollah. And there's another factor in here as well. As I understand, you know, one thing running through the minds of Netanyahu and people around him is, you know, the American elections. He's in a holding pattern. He wants to know who's going to be the next American president before he, you know, makes big decisions along these lines. So he might be seeking to kind of, you know, push back a decision on all kinds of factors here until after 7th of November.
All right, but thank you both, Roland Oliphant and Alistair Bunkle. We've had a statement from the Irish Defence Forces, because we know that we have people there, and there are families here and others, of course, who are very concerned about them. This statement from the Defence Forces says, all Defence Forces personnel deployed in South Lebanon with UNIFIL are accounted for and are safe. Sector West had a busy night operationally. The Irish-Polish battalion area of operations was reasonably quiet, and the unit continues to carry out its tasks and framework operations routinely. This morning, there was no increase in force protection measures overnight, and our personnel continue to monitor the situation closely. So that's the latest from our own Defence Forces there. Coming up next, we'll be discussing that extraordinary programme that many of you, I know, will have watched last night, the RT Investigates programme, Inside the Protests, and ask whether it highlights the broader challenges facing the Gardaí when it comes to policing anti-immigration protests. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.